Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. I tell you, I'm having quite a weird day today. Just seems like everything technical I put my hands on has blown up in my face, and it is not making me very happy. Not indeed at all. So, if I seem a little more, shall we say, curmudgeonly than usual, you'll know why. I'm serious. I mean, it has just been one of those bizarre, weird days that nothing has gone right in. But what are you going to do? So far today, just to give you an idea, my laptop, which I really appreciate my laptop. It's a wonderful piece of equipment. Managed to pop a key off of it, the caps lock key. Tried to get it back on. Couldn't quite do it. Probably going to have to order a new keyboard. So I'm bummed about that. And then on top of that, I tried to download the new version of Pod Producer, which I normally use to produce the podcast, which is hard to say several times fast. And somehow or another, the new version doesn't work. And since I overwrote the old version, then there you go. So, did I mention I was really bummed? Man. Oh, well. Anyway, I am improvising. I'm recording with another little application that I have here called the WMA MP3 Recorder Pro software. And so if the podcast sounds a little bit different, a little bit strange, then you'll know why. Plus, I never did get my microphone fixed. Just not having such a lovely day. Well, let me talk about some of the things that are happening in tech news this week. A lot of things happening, a lot of anniversaries. Matter of fact, it's kind of almost weird how many anniversaries there are. There's one that is kind of near and dear to my heart because I remember very clearly when this occurred, and I knew it was going to be big when it did. I mean, I don't know exactly, boom, that it occurred, you know, but when it first was introduced, I was pretty excited that I found out about it. Anyway, October 1st, yesterday is October 1st, 2005. Celebrates 25 years of Ethernet. Yay! I'm sure you're thrilled. What do you mean by Ethernet? Well, those of you that are not super hardcore geeks like myself may not know that the Ethernet protocol is only 25 years old. That's relatively young, wouldn't you say? Well, 25 years of Ethernet. You know, before that it was token ring. Before that it was who knows what. but anyway, Ethernet, of course, is a protocol for transmission of network traffic, and it's 25 years old today. What do you know? Also, Microsoft celebrates its 30th anniversary this year. Well, what do you know about that? 30 years of Microsoft gradually, slowly climbing out of the muck and the ooze to take over the world. And it's 30 years, not today, but 30 years this year. 25 years of color TV sales. How weird is that? 25 years of color TV sales. You know, it seems like color TV's been around longer. I guess it has. They just mentioned about, you know, mass marketing sales. So I'm sure it was in development long before that, but that's what it said. Very strange. 10th anniversary of eBay. Now that one I find even a little harder to believe in some ways because it doesn't seem like it could have been 10 years since eBay was introduced, but apparently it has been. And it's the 50th anniversary of Legos. Now, that is bizarre. 50 years of Legos. I'll be 50, as I think I mentioned before, this year. So me and Legos are the same age. Okay. Not sure I'm going to think about that for too long. All right, 100 years of Einstein's theory of relativity. E equals mc squared is 100 years old this year. Now, how's that for a lot of weird anniversaries? Yeah, I kind of thought so, too. That's a little strange. You think it's all the convergence of the anniversaries that is kind of coming together to make for a bad tech day? You know, some people have bad hair days. I seem to be having a bad tech day. Oh, well. Anyway. Other things that are happening. Let's talk a little bit about some of the more maybe well-known news. I actually heard this on so many places, I was like, okay, get over it, guys. The giant squid. How many of you heard this week about the giant squid? It was on CNN. It was on blogs all over the place. It was, everybody was talking about this giant squid, you know, and I guess it goes back to Nemo, you know, and Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and all those good things, and people were really getting excited that they finally found and photographed, you know, real-life photographs of the giant squid. Wow. You know, I'm happy for them. I just can't say that I'm terribly excited myself about a giant squid, but hey, that's whatever floats your boat, or sinks it in the case of a giant squid. Okay. So, the giant squid pictures were out there on CNN and all over the web. I mean, it seemed like every link you turn around, there was a giant squid picture. So, it's one of those weeks. Also, a $100 laptop has been designed by MIT. It's actually kind of cool. You know, it's a neat-looking little laptop. Hopefully, the caps lock key won't break on it. But at any rate, the laptop, they have a picture of it. If you go to digdigg.com and look for the $100 laptop, that's $100.100, as in 100, and then laptop, you should be able to find it. Once you find that link, you'll be able to go there and see the laptop in terms of a drawing of it and some of the specs and things like that. The idea is to make a laptop, quote, for the masses that people can afford very easily. And, of course, $100 would fit right in there. And it also has a little hand crank on it so that you can crank it up and have... I kid you not. You think I'm kidding, but no. A little hand crank, you crank up, and it gives it power so that you can continue to use it. That's kind of neat, actually. You know, I wouldn't mind having one of those kind of laptops. Also wouldn't mind having a new keyboard for my real laptop. I got to get off that. Okay, let's drop that. All right, Firefox is number one in PC World's 100 Best Products of 2005. Yay, all right. Firefox, as you know, is the browser that I personally really like and promote because it is so safe and non-Microsoft. That's a really good reason right there that it's non-Microsoft. So I would encourage you to go out and get Firefox. Version 1.0.7 is out. There was a little security issue that they fixed with that particular version. So, again, go out and get Firefox. You need Firefox. Very good browser, tabbed browsing, lots of good features, very sharp and fast. Just a really nice browser. Supports web standards better than most of the other browsers that are out there. So I'd encourage you to do that. All right, Serenity started yesterday in the movie theaters. If you are a hardcore geek, you already know about Serenity, so I don't have to tell you about it. If you're not, and you're just kind of a closet geek, kind of beginning to get into geekdom, this is a requirement. You must go see Serenity. You know, just drop whatever you're doing this weekend, okay? You had plans, you know, I know you had plans. Maybe you had things you had to do with your family. You know, you need to go visit somebody in the hospital. I don't know what it is. Drop it, whatever it is. Go see Serenity. This movie truly rocks. You say, Dr. Bill, have you seen it? No, can't say that I've seen it, but I'm going to, of course, this afternoon. But you got to go see Serenity because that's your geek cred, okay? No, in order to be a geek, there are certain things you must do, and one of those things is to go see this movie, okay? Once you go see it, you'll go, dude, oh man, this thing rocks, and of course, you will be a geek. So there you go. So go see Serenity. One quote, one review was, it's more engaging than any of Lucas's recent screen entertainment. There you go. If you watch Firefly on the Sci-Fi Channel, which, of course, Firefly is a failed program that actually, was it the WB or Fox canceled? One of those networks. Well, they all run together after a while. Anyway, they canceled it, and, of course, the fans thought they were crazy, which, of course, they were, because it does rock. And, Josh Whedon, the guy who did Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel and some of those kinds of programs, was the producer, and he says, I'm not going to do this show again. Matter of fact, I think he was legally prohibited from doing the show, but everybody was just clamoring, got to have more, got to have more, got to have more. So he said, hey, tell you what, I'm not prevented from doing a feature film. So he's going, you know, he went ahead and did a feature film, pretty much retold the story of Firefly, I believe, in the feature film. Serenity, of course, is the name of the ship, which is a Firefly-class available vessel, And he's going to make $11 billion because all the geeks in the world will go this weekend and see it, and it will probably be a very, very big deal. People are going to be talking about it on the news going, what? What is this? Where did this come from? And they'll be very surprised, but all the geeks will be going, dude, you are so out of it. All right, so go see that. That's a must-see. Also, some other news that was out there. There was some talk about the fact, now, you know, this is weird, okay? This officially goes into the weird column. And the reason for the weirdness is because ever since I was a little kid, you know, growing up, I heard that oil, you know, like we use in our vehicles, and they turn into gasoline and so forth, and crude oil, you know, is selling for like $66 a barrel and all this kind of stuff. Oil was supposed to be made out of dinosaurs and other organic matter that you know, when they died, the big comet hit, whatever it was, they got crushed down into the ground and crushed and crushed and crushed and squeezed and crushed. Finally, they became petroleum. Well, turns out, no. That's really not what happened. You know, if you think about it, it sounds a little bizarre anyway, okay? But, you know, they call it a fossil fuel, and it's a fossil fuel because all these dinosaurs are the, you know, that the petroleum is a result of the dinosaurs' fossil fuel, you know. So the idea, of course, was is that fossil fuels are a non-renewable resource because there just aren't any more dinosaurs to end up becoming fossil fuel. You get the drift. Okay, but it turns out that the new theory is that oil actually is regenerating underground. That it's due to all kinds of tectonic activity and heat and the earth and crushing pressures and yada yada and all these kinds of things that I know absolutely nothing about. I know computers. I don't know that. And so all of that stuff happens underground and you end up with oil. The reason they came to this conclusion is that some oil fields that were no longer producing, now suddenly they're producing again. And they're going, but wait a minute, we drained all the oil out of that field. How in the world can we have more oil there? And, of course, it's because more is being created. So, of course, it is not a non-renewable resource. It is a renewable resource, which, of course, is just freaking everybody out that's, you know, a doom and gloom into the world, oh, woe is us kind of person, because now this terrible problem that we were supposed to have because of having a non-renewable resource is, of course, now renewable, and oh, drat, what are we going to do now? Well, you know, hey, that's okay, guys. You know, all you tree-hugging types, it's okay. Just calm down. Because the doctor appreciates the problem. And I will say this, I like the idea of hydrogen as a fuel. Now, this is just a personal thing. This goes back many years in my life when I was a little bitty kid. You know, I was just going to school and I was beginning to take some science courses and beginning to get into chemistry just a little bit. And we learned about hydrogen. Now, think with me just a minute. Here is an element that is a gas. And when you burn it, quote, burn it, when it oxidizes, it turns into water. Well, how cool is that? Because hydrogen and oxygen, you know, H2O, when they come together, oxidizing, you know, is oxygen. So you have hydrogen, it oxidizes or burns, which it does very well, actually fairly violently. And when that occurs, it produces water. Well, water is H2O. If you use electrolysis to kind of break it apart, it breaks back apart into hydrogen and oxygen. Oxygen, let's all say this together, oxygen is good. We all breathe oxygen. So it seemed to me as a little kid, now, you know, I was just a little kid, but it seemed to me this is the answer to all of mankind's energy issues. All we got to do is build a hydrogen engine. We have that engine, quote, burn or oxidize hydrogen. It produces water vapor. Water vapor is perfectly clean, distilled quality water. We then can take that water and use electrolysis and break it back down into hydrogen and oxygen. And I thought, this is it. This is perfect. And I even went so far as to write down in some, you know, early version of a blog, non-computer, it was on a piece of paper, but I found it one day and saw it. And I said, you know, if Adam had never fallen in the garden. This is probably what all cars would be using for fuel, because there would be absolutely no pollutants. It would be an extremely powerful engine, and you'd have water, which could be turned back into hydrogen and oxygen. It's perfect. So I patted myself on the back and said, I have invented the hydrogen engine. Went and showed my teacher. My teacher goes, that's nice, Bill. Go back and sit down in your seat. And that was it. Well, it turns out that a lot of people invented the hydrogen engine. Who knew? And the problem, of course, is storing the hydrogen, because it is a very volatile gas. Let's remember the Hindenburg, right? You know, boom, blew up, right? So it's kind of hard to store hydrogen. It's not like gasoline that you just pour in the tank and you go on. Okay, it would have to be compressed in a very specialized tank, and if it ever blew up, it would blow up big time. So, you know, that's a problem. The other problem is, of course, due to conservation of matter and energy laws, it takes energy to break water into hydrogen and oxygen. So you don't get energy back where you didn't put energy in. So that's not as efficient as it might sound. So there's a lot of issues to work through. But the bottom line is that we're working toward hydrogen engines or hydrogen cells that will produce power, and I'm all for that, okay? Never let it be said that Dr. Bill is not for hydrogen, because after all, I invented it. Hey, you know, I'd have to be for it. All right, but here's the thing. We don't have to really worry so much about fossil fuels, because they are being regenerated. So don't let the tree-hugging freakoids ruin your day, because it is renewable. Okay, that was in the news this week. Another thing that was in the news is Nopix 4.0.2, Nopix Linux, was released this week on DVD. And the DVD version, of course, has all kinds of very cool software. And the cool thing about Nopix is it is a version of Linux that will boot right off of your CD, or your, in this case, DVD, if you have a DVD drive in your computer, and it will run. And I like Nopix because it also has the ability to boot in a CD that has been completely hosed, which, of course, implies that it's a Windows CD if it became completely hosed. And by using your Nopix CD, you can get your files back from a machine that has been trashed because, of course, it's running Microsoft products. And, of course, we know Microsoft products are going to be trashed because that's just the nature of the beast. So Nopix is very cool. So that was good news that it was released this week. There's also a new version of Pod Producer. New version of Pod Producer, some bug fixes in there, but apparently also some bugs, because I downloaded the new version, which is beta 0.23. And last week, of course, you heard the podcast. I was recording on 0.22. 2.3 doesn't work. At least not on my laptop, and also not on one of my other machines. So, as I said, I'm using a different means to record the podcast, and I am bummed about that. But, oh well. So, that is pretty much the news that caught my eye. There were other things that were happening. As a matter of fact, Adam Winter, who was supposed to be a guest on the podcast today via Gizmo, which is another voiceover IP other than Skype, which, by the way, Skype was bought by eBay, which is another bit of news, but anyway, I wasn't terribly impressed with that. Mainly because I wasn't quite as impressed with Skype. I mean, Skype was okay, but Gizmo rocks, okay? Go to the Gizmo Project, you know, put that into your browser in Google, go to Gizmo Project, and check it out. It really rocks. But at any rate, there's also Google Talk, that's another voiceover IP, there's just all kinds of voiceover IP things, so, you know, I digress. But the deal is that I was supposed to talk to Adam, and we've had to put that off for a couple of weeks. So be ready for that. Just get ready. Mark it on your calendar. A couple of weeks, Adam will be a guest on the podcast right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. So we aren't going to do that today. We will do it later. But he sent me a couple of news items that caught his eye. You know, the ones I just shared with you, the ones that caught my eye, these are the ones that caught his. He saw on DIGG.com that there is a contest to write a Mac OS X virus. If you do, you'll get $500. Basically, they're saying, you know, look, this thing is so secure, we're going to have to pay people to write viruses. Okay. Well, obviously, Apple didn't do that. It was another guy, Will Shipley, in his blog, put out the challenge. Put up or shut up, write a Mac OS X virus. OS 10, however you want to pronounce it. Okay. And he'll give you $500 for doing that. So, go for it. Okay. Microsoft is releasing a quote-unquote flash killer. Macromedia Flash, of course, is basically the standard on the web for very, 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 very fast, light, and when I say light, I'm talking about bandwidth-wise, video or animation or, you know, whatever, is done with Flash. And a lot of very graphical, you know, moving content on the web is done with Flash. Well, Microsoft said, dude, we can't have some technology out there that we don't own. So they came up with an alternate called Acrylic. Acrylic is supposed to be their, quote, Flash killer. And, of course, you can check that out. It's available in beta on Microsoft.com. That's Microsoft.com. I know they're not very well known, so I wanted to give that URL to you. But yes, they have a, quote, flash killer. We'll see. Okay. Also, there was a news story that was on John C. Dvorak's blog about Visa and MasterCard are told they don't have to send out notices about stolen credit card numbers. Well, isn't that just special? They don't have to tell you that your credit card has been stolen. You know, it seems to me it would be in their best interest to tell everybody that, hey, your credit card's been stolen. But apparently they really weren't too excited about doing that. And so they've been told they don't have to. So that just strikes me as weird. But at any rate, those are the items from Adam this week, even though he couldn't join us. Yeah. Disappoint Dr. Bill, will you? Nah, he'll be here in a couple of weeks. He just had some scheduling issues. I know how that goes. You know, that's the thing about recording a podcast. It's almost live. Here I sit recording it live. You're just listening to it. Not live, but, you know, okay. So, you know, it's 1:51 on Saturday afternoon, October 1st, to me. I don't know when you're listening, but there you go. What else is happening? Oh, I told you last week that the URL for the podcast and the blog have changed. Now, by change, that's maybe a little too strong a word. You can still get there at drbillbailey.net/blog. That's drbillbailey.net/blog. You can still get there that way. But you can also get there by typing in thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, Mike Johnson, a guy at work, came in to my office and just out of the blue, he spelled curmudgeon for me. Way to go, Mike. All right. For those of you that missed it last week, you know, and it's cool to have people listen to the podcast. That way I know that people are out there listening. So when they can do things like that, although it completely blew me away when he did it, I was like, what? But anyway. But yes, we found out last week how to spell curmudgeon because, you know, as I said last week, most people can spell the, T-H-E. Most people can spell computer, a smaller percentage, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R, computer. But curmudgeon, I realize, is just for those highly intellectual people who listen, of course, to Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon podcast. So, for those of you that are breaking into the ranks of true, highly intellectual geekdom, then here you go. Here's how you remember it. Remember, a bad dog is a cur, C-U-R. Rolling in the mud, M-U-D, so cur, mud. And, of course, the planet Geon. G-E-O-N. Got it? Curmudgeon. Curmudgeon. And, of course, as we found out last week and before that, a curmudgeon is an ill-tempered, crusty old man. Well, I'm not that old. Like I said, I'm just turning 50. That's, hey, it's barely middle-aged. I mean, you know, 100 years old, 120 years old. Let's see, 120. It'd be 60, so 60 would be halfway. I'm not even halfway, okay? So, not that old, but this week, yes, I'm definitely crusty and ill-tempered because of the caps lock key on my keyboard, which stares at me now saying, I'm broken. Let's count slowly to 10. Okay. So we'll deal with that. All right. Yeah, Dr. Bill, just deal. Well, it's been an interesting program, I think, to say the least. Next week, we're going to have some special tips on how to keep your computer safe and how to keep it healthy and how to keep from breaking your caps lock key. No, that last one I just threw in. That's not really what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some special tips on next week's podcast. So join us next week at this same time and same station. Actually, it's whenever you download the MP3 file and put it on your MP3 player, iPod, or listen to it on your computer, whatever you happen to do, you know, adjust your podcatcher software to get Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And so I'd encourage you to do that because it will help you what it don't hurt you. I don't know where that came from. If you think about it, it'll help you what it don't hurt you. Yeah. Let's not think about that too much because there's really no need to. Well, I don't know about you, but I guess it's about time to roll out of here because I've gone through all the news that I can think of. And, hey, the doctor is out. I'm just really having problems with the podcast this week. It just seems like nothing is really working the way it's supposed to. I don't know. It'll be better next week. It's got to be better next week. All right. I'm out of here.